Our scripture reading is found in the Gospel of Matthew, the 9th chapter, and we'll be reading verses 35 to 38. I invite you to stand as we read God's word. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest."
When we make a prayer request or a supplication to God, it's because we believe that we need something. We ask God because we have a need, and we bring those petitions to God. When you have a prayer request that you share with others, with your friends, fellow church members, that means you really need that prayer answered. You're seeking for something that you want extra help with. I want to talk to you today about a prayer request that Jesus made to his friends. And this account is written about in the Gospel of Matthew. Fred had just read it to us just a moment ago, and I'd like for us to read it here this morning. And so this is in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. And here's what it says. "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" Today we're going to explore this important prayer request of Jesus and why he prayed this prayer request and what it means for you and me today. But first, we need to take care of some housekeeping. I want to welcome our audience that's watching online. You might be watching us on Facebook, or maybe you're watching us at MiddletownPortlandSDA.org. And I want to welcome you to our worship service here today. Thank you for joining us. If you're blessed by this message, please hit like. If you want to hear more messages like this, please subscribe either to our YouTube channel which is the Middletown Portland SDA YouTube channel, or you can go to Path of Prophecy, where you'll find messages like this one and even more. And if you want to be notified when a new message comes out, then please click the notification bell. And we also encourage you to follow along, and please leave your comments in the comment section for the message. And then by all means, please share this message with those of your friends or family who you think will be blessed. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the Word of God. And as we explore this particular subject as to when Jesus actually made a prayer request and asked for his friends to help, we pray that we would understand better what this means for us today. So we ask, Lord, for you to bless us, and may we know you in a deeper way as a result of this message. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, friends, Jesus' mission on earth was to announce the kingdom of God, both in word as well as in action. His purpose was to tell the children of Israel that God's kingdom had finally come. And he did that through preaching and through teaching and through healing people. But the mission of Jesus was to announce the arrival of God's kingdom. and he did it through his actions as well as what he had to say to people. And we get to see this primarily in two different passages, just as a sample. I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 1, verse 15. And in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, Jesus has the, Mark records for us the very first words of Jesus in his Gospel. And here's what Jesus had to say in Mark chapter 1, verse 15. It says, "And saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." These first words of Jesus reveal a call to action. The Mark's gospel is a gospel of action. We find that frequently Mark uses this words, immediately, immediately this happened, immediately this happened. And here, although the word immediately isn't used, we see that just in Jesus' appeal, it's a call to action. Notice that the arrival of Jesus indicates that a prophetic time has been met, a prophetic time has been fulfilled. Number two, his arrival is synonymous with the arrival of God's kingdom. The kingdom of the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. And number three, his call, his appeal is for everyone to repent, to prepare for this kingdom, to believe in the good news. But in addition to his proclamation, to his preaching that the kingdom has come, there is also signs that lended credibility to the ministry of Jesus. And we see one of these signs, the first of his signs that he ever performed, was found in John chapter 2. Turn in your Bibles, please, to John chapter 2. John chapter 2 is the story of the first miracle of Jesus at the wedding feast of Cana. And what had taken place at the wedding feast was that the wedding party had run out of wine. And so Jesus was called upon to assist in this matter. And I'm just going to pick up in the middle of the story where it says here, beginning in verse 6, "Now there were set there six water pots of stone according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, 'Fill the water pots with water.' And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, 'Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast.' And they took it." Now, just a few points here to highlight what was taking place here. The water pots were for the outer washing, both before and after the meal. It was provided for the guests so that they could wash their hands. It was a ceremonial washing. It was a tradition, a custom. Whereas the wine that Jesus produced from the water, the wine symbolized his blood that was going to be shed, which is the only substance that can truly cleanse the heart of you and me. Water can wash the hands, it can wash the outside, but it cannot change the person from the inside. The only one who can do that is the life of Jesus himself. And that's what was symbolized with that wine, the pure life of Christ. By changing the water to wine, Jesus' miracle showed how God's power is superior to any faith tradition that claims its ability to make a person better or improve somebody. Only God's power can transform the human condition. But this miracle that Jesus performed also did something else. If we take a look a little bit further at the conclusion of the story, John chapter 2, verse 11, it reads, This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The miracle that Jesus performed substantiated the word that Jesus had preached, the word that Jesus had taught, and thereby it established the faith of the disciples that Jesus was indeed the promised Messiah. Notice what it says, this beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Which brings us back to the mission of Jesus. Jesus, when he began his mission work, he never intended to carry it out all by himself. Jesus always wanted to bring others with him. That was his intent. When he announced that the kingdom of God had come, it was his mission and purpose not only to proclaim that the kingdom had arrived, but to bring others with him to assist in that proclamation as well. Jesus never intended to do his work by himself. We know this because when we read in the Gospel of John, John chapter 1, verse 29, describes the ministry of John the Baptist and how John introduced Jesus to the children of Israel. The text tells us, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." See, John didn't just introduce Jesus to Israel. John introduced his disciples to Jesus. The text goes on a few verses later, saying, "Again, the next day John stood with two of his disciples. And looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.' The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus." One of those initial disciples that followed John, that later became a loyal disciple of Jesus, was Andrew. And it was Andrew who introduced his brother Peter to Jesus. There were others in addition to Andrew and this other unnamed disciple, and Andrew who introduced Jesus to Peter. Others who followed him that day were Philip and Nathanael. We can read further about that in John chapter 1. But then it goes on in Matthew's Gospel. In Matthew's Gospel, it's not until after John introduced his disciples to Jesus and Jesus performed this first miracle of changing the water to wine that Jesus called his disciples to follow him. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, and it says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" What was it that Jesus wanted his disciples to see when he invited them to come and follow him? To come and follow and become fishers of men. What was it that he wanted his disciples to see, to observe about the life and the ministry of Jesus? We can read further, just a little bit further in Matthew's Gospel, and it says this, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people." I believe that what he wanted the disciples to see was how he was going to introduce the kingdom of God to the multitudes. There was a specific method that Jesus was going to model for his disciples so that they could learn this pattern and they then could follow in this pattern.
Notice what it says.
Notice what it says.
Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues,
preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. He wanted them to see how he was going to introduce the kingdom of God to the nation. The Bible goes on to say in Matthew chapter 4, then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. The passage goes on to conclude, great multitudes followed him. From Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. What it sounds like is that Jesus gained quite a following. The Bible says his fame spread throughout the whole entire region. And that region would roughly be about the size of New England. One person before Facebook ever entered the scene, before YouTube, before any type of social media platform, Jesus ministered to the people, and he preached, and he taught, and he healed. That was how he was going to pattern his work. And his pattern of work was based on Old Testament prophecy. That's how the Messiah was described, that his work would follow. And so it made it that much easier for people to judge Jesus on his works. On his works. In fact, if you recall, when John the Baptist was imprisoned, and John grew discouraged, and his fellow disciples had come and visited him in the prison, and he had told his disciples to go and inquire of Jesus if he was really the one that they were to hope for. And so these disciples apparently spent a day with Jesus, these disciples of John. And they had asked John, and at the end of the day, after Jesus had spent the day healing people and casting out demons, Jesus told John's disciples, said, go and tell John what you see. The lame can walk, the blind can see, and the deaf can hear, and the mute can talk. And what he was basically telling them to tell John was that you go back and remember the scriptures yourselves, and go back and examine the scriptures. And if my ministry does not match up with what the scriptures foretold, then I'm not the one. But if they match up with what the scriptures said the Messiah was going to do, then let your faith be settled. Let your question be settled. So that's what Jesus was about doing. He was doing his work in harmony with what God's word said he was to do. What followed after this in Matthew's account is the Sermon on the Mount. And then after that, we read further in chapters 7, 8, and 9 about how Jesus healed people. He healed lepers. He healed the blind. He healed the lame. And that's where this encounter comes in with John the Baptist. But in doing so, a problem develops. A big problem develops. And we're going to read about it here. This is where our scripture reading was from. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. It says, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. It sounds quite similar to what Matthew had recorded in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, that Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But here it intensifies.
And a problem is exposed. And Matthew records the problem. Says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. The problem is simply this, that the work of Jesus is so successful that he can't keep pace with the work. It's not that there's not enough work. It's that there's so much work that he needs help. And so he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers in to his harvest. The problem was not that there was too little work. The problem was that the work was so great that Jesus needed more workers to care for the people. So how was this problem going to be solved? The problem wasn't, Lord, help the people so that their hearts will be open to the gospel. Their hearts were receiving the gospel. The problem wasn't their reception to the gospel. The problem was that they needed care. And what was Jesus' solution to the problem? Prayer. Prayer. The Bible tells us that he was moved with compassion when he saw them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. What happens? I don't think any of you have ever been a shepherd, and the only shepherd that I am is a pastoral shepherd. But what happens when there is no shepherd? What happens to the sheep? They can get confused and attacked by wolves. Jesus wanted them to be cared for. And his limitations were such that he was only one person. He couldn't do it all. So he needed help. So what he asked the disciples to do was he invited them to pray. Just like when you and I have a prayer request and we have this burden on our heart for a certain situation or a set of circumstances or even a person, and we share that with others so that they can carry this burden too and they can participate in the work and the labor. What would happen if we would incorporate this prayer request into our own prayer lives? What would happen if we prayed the prayer request that Jesus asked his disciples to pray? If we are followers of Jesus, we're his disciples, we're students of Jesus. And Jesus is trying to format our character to be like his. What would happen? What would happen if we prayed this prayer request? Lord, send out laborers into the harvest. What would happen? Well, the Bible tells us what happens, and I'll leave that for another time for us to explore that further. But what we do know is that God will honor our prayers, and I believe he will honor this prayer request because it was something that Jesus himself asked us to pray. If Jesus asked us to pray this, then it ought to be prayed. It's important. Are you willing to partner with Jesus in praying this prayer request? We just started our prayer meeting this past Wednesday. It was at 6:30 on Wednesday evening, and we prayed.
Amen.
Amen.
And
we're going to add this prayer request to our prayer experience. It needs to become part of our prayer experience, both at home as well as corporately when we meet together. And I believe that if we pray this prayer, God will do something very special for us here at Middletown, Portland, and for other churches scattered throughout the world. Because the harvest truly is plentiful, but it's the workers who are few.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege of working with you. But before the work commences, we need to pray. And one of those specific prayers that is given in the scriptures is to pray for laborers for the harvest. We live in this twin city of Middletown, Portland, and between the two, there's over 70,000 people who don't yet know the three angels' message. And yet, Father, your word says that this message is to go to every nation, kindred, tribe, tongue, and people. There are many who come to visit us on Wednesdays at our food pantry. Many have yet to hear that blessed word that gives them hope for such a distressful time in which we live. So, Father, I pray in concluding that you would send out laborers into this harvest. The harvest truly is plentiful, but the workers are few. Lord, we are few in numbers, but we want to go out. Increase our numbers, Father. Let others join us in this labor of love. I pray that you would bless the Middletown Portland Church and our sister church and our churches throughout the New England and the Atlantic Union area and throughout the world, that you would raise up laborers for the harvest. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.